You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm joined by James Millman. Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. So we're going to have a quick look at some of the races coming up on Wednesday's card. Several different venues. We're going to have a look at one from Bath, Carlisle and Newton Abbott as well. But first of all, let's discuss the achievement by Silvestre de Souza that dominates the front of the Racing Post. Rode the first four winners on the card at Epsom. What an achievement, first of all.
Definitely. Four winners in any kind of day is excellent, especially when his main rival, Jim Crowley, was riding the meeting as well. It's a couple of close finishes between the pair of them. And like I say, Silvestre, kind of the opposite was what happened on Saturday, as Jim Crowley got a treble at Windsor, and they put Silvestre on the back first, and he's back in front again now. And I think the way racing's going to be the next few weeks, I think it's going to be pretty close between the pair of them.
Yeah, his price has obviously shortened as a result, but can you see a few more twists and turns in the race yet for the Jockeys' Championship?
The thing is, with both jockeys, neither have actually got a massive stable behind them. They're not really retained by any of the big yards, so it does mean there's a whole host of rides open available to them, because generally, normally these kind of circumstances, you've got Ryan Moore, etc. They're riding for a very, very big stable. They're going to provide plenty of winners in the maiden companies, and you can normally guarantee them to get a fair few winners on the board without really having to, as such, ride great races, because they're always going to be on very, very short price horses. Whereas both Silvestre and Jim have got to work extremely hard without a big backer behind them. Obviously their agents are trying to get them on the best possible horse in each race, but it's not easy. To be fair, I wouldn't be able to split the two of them, to be honest, at the moment. Both are riding extremely well, both high in confidence. Silvestre had a bit of a bad spell nearly a month ago. I think he went about 52 rides out of a winner. That's certainly behind him now, especially with that four timer yesterday, so it's going to be very close. But it's great we're talking about it as well, because the last few seasons it's been a little bit quiet on the jockeys front. Now we've got two jockeys that are desperately wanting it, which is key, because generally some of the bigger names perhaps have overlooked it, but at least we've got a bit of a fight this time.
Yeah, pleasing that it's a little more competitive, and obviously anything can change in the blink of an eye as well. We've seen Ryan Moore sustain an injury and have to take time out. Fingers crossed it happens to neither of these, but obviously nothing is assured in the Jockeys' Championship, is it?
Especially as the only job where an ambulance follows you around your workplace. And like I say, injury is, unfortunately, happens a lot. Dave Probert, he's missing a great ride at the weekend because of his fractured wrist. Like I say, Ryan Moore got injured. He was actually, I think, overdoing it on the gym, the running machine, trying to get fit. And like I say, it's definitely a haphazard job, and you can never guarantee in any kind of situation what's going to happen in the future, but especially when riding racehorses. So obviously both have got to stay fit and avoid suspensions. That has been Sylvester's trouble. He's obviously picked up a fair few whip bands as the season's gone on, so he's going to have to be a little bit careful. And in a tight finish, that can sometimes fall to the back of your mind, and he can't really afford any more bands. So lots to play for, and it's great. It's a close championship this year.
Yeah, exciting culmination to the championship. We will wait and see what happens with that one. Retirement as well on the cards for David Watchman. That's on the front of the Racing Post as well. He's had some good seasons this year, not so much, but he's going to be calling it a day at the end of this campaign.
Yeah, this year's been a bit of a shocker, isn't it? Only five winners, I think, so far this season, which for a trainer who enjoys patronage from Coolmore, that's a little bit disappointing. But like I say, over the years, there are plenty of decent horses. For me, the highlight would have to be last year's horse, Legatissimo, winning the 1,000 Guineas Nassau in the Matron Stakes, and also running extremely well under feet. Still can't believe she got beaten in the Oaks, to be honest, last year. But I'd say he's had a cracking training career. Bushranger, another star again. So he's had a few winners down the line, and I wish him all the well in the future. Slightly surprising that he is retiring, but then again, you've got young Joseph O'Brien. He's now making his own impact on the training ranks. So you'd imagine that Coolmore might spread a few more horses between his father, Aidan, and maybe Joseph might get a few more. But yeah, you can certainly see Coolmore spreading their horses around a few more trainers now.
Yeah, it's disappointing, obviously, but I'm sure that Watchman will be in and around the circuit a few times at various places. I'm sure we'll spot him around, but obviously good luck to whatever he goes on to do in the future as well. So that's what's dominating the Racing Post. We're going to have a look at some of the races on Wednesday's card. There's meetings from Bath and Lingfield and Southwell in the afternoon, and then Newton Abbott and Carlisle in the evening. They're joined by Goran Park from Ireland. We're going to start with the 3:20 at Southwell. It's a Class 3 handicap hurdle, and it's over the 2 miles and 4 furlongs. What do we make of this field?
Yeah, 7 runners for a pretty competitive handicap hurdle. 0 to 140, so it's quite competitive for the summer months. We're still really in the summer jumping campaign, and the ground's currently good at Southwell. Interesting is one horse I used to ride on the flat many years ago, Doval's Date. He was a good second on the weather at Wolverhampton last time out. He could run a nice race off a marker, 1.15. He's dropped £9 in his last 3 hurdle outings. He could be well handicapped for Tim Vaughan, so keep an eye out on Doval's Date. But obviously the one that's been in cracking form over hurdles anyway is a Perfect Summer for Ian Williams. Won his last 3 starts at Stratford, Aintree and Southwell. Won nicely off a mark of 108 last time out. Only up £2. He's confirmed he's in good form on the flats, running some very competitive races at York and Glorious Goodwood, but back into slightly easier level, finished second at Chester last time out. So it shows he's continues in good form. Got a course win next to his name. The hurdles at Southwell are a little bit unique, so I think that's always important. So I think Perfect Summer will be very, very hard to beat for Ian Williams off just 10 stone. Of the others, you've got to mention the top weight, Newton Geronimo. He's had a good summer, winning at Fontwell and Worcester. Just felt the handicapper might just have got hold of him. That £15 higher mark for that Worcester success found him out at Market Raisin last time, and it could be a similar story tomorrow. Bill Boucher, David Bridgewater's runner, he's been in good form, but he's up £6 for finishing second at Newton Abbott the other day. So I just think the bottom weight Perfect Summer could still be well handicapped, and I think he's the one to beat for Ian Williams.
Okay, Perfect Summer, the selection in the 3:20 from Southwell. We're going back to the flat then at Bath at 3:30. This is a Class 4 Fillies handicap. It's over the 1 mile and 2 furlongs. And again, a relatively short field to pick from here.
Yeah, obviously at Bath, no water in, so the ground does get quite quick on occasions. We've got 6 runners here for this Fillies handicap. Interesting little race. We've got a few of the big owners represented in Zakir, in Cannonbury for Charlie Hills and Sir Michael Stark respectively. Both arguably a little bit disappointing. Zakir won on debut at Kempton back in November. Looked to be a pretty promising individual. Next start, first one as a 3-year-old, came in listed company at Goodwood. But beating 17 lengths was a little bit disappointing for Charlie Hills. Slightly better in handicap company. Third off 83 at Salisbury, and then fourth back at that track behind Guns of Leros. Dropped £3 down to 80. Makes her eligible for this 0-80 contest. So it's only a drop in grade, and you can certainly see her finding this level a little bit easier. Cannonbury's been disappointing, I think, for Sir Michael Stout. 3 runs in maidens. Made favourite at Chester on the second of those, but only finished fourth behind Invermere. Not a bad outing at Chelmsford. Finishing third behind Ecoreal last time out. 75 seems to be a pretty fair handicap mark, but does need to improve, I think, on what she's shown so far. I've always ever been consistent in this kind of level. Smart Mover, Nicky Evans's runner's been very busy lately, but is holding its form very well. Won at Pontefract back in April, but subsequently he's had 3 seconds at Catterick and Leicester, and was a good third at 21 last time out. So that one remains in form. Mitch Godwin takes off a useful £7, meaning that filly only carries 8 stone 1 as she steps up to 1.25. But I think Zakir is going to be the one to beat for Charlie Hills and Dane O'Neill in a competitive 6-runner contest.
Zakir, then, the selection in the race at 3:30. We're going to move on to the evening cards. As I said, Carlisle and Newton Abbott provide the entertainment across the evening. We're going to start with the jumps at Newton Abbott. 6:40 is the time. And these fields have been getting smaller and smaller for you, James, in this podcast. We now have just 4 running in this 2 mile, 4 furlong contest.
Yeah, shame for Newton Abbott, because they're putting on £12,500 in prize money for this Novices Limited handicap chase. But it's got a strong field. I know there's only 4 runners, but all 4 certainly have a chance. Keltis, the top weight for Sam Twiston Davis and Paul Nichols, has had a productive enough summer, winning the Hexham and then second to Warsinger here at Newton Abbott 45 days ago. Probably a little bit disappointing, bearing in mind He was made Evans favourite on that occasion, but I think perhaps they just went off a little bit too quick in front and enabled Worsinger to pick up the pieces, stepping back up to 2.5 mile with a trip that he won over at Hexham. He should be seen to better effect, and he's got every chance. Of the others, Master D has been very consistent since joining Fergal O'Brien's stable. Two starts for the yard have seen 2 seconds, one at Yotoxeter, one at Market Raisin. But the handicapper's been a little bit harsh, bearing in mind he's got beat on both occasions. He's gone up £11 in the process, so he's off a marker 130. Bearing in mind he's been beaten off marks as low as 119, that's got to be a little bit of a concern. John Dreneil and Aidan O'Common team up with I'd Like the Option. He's an interesting runner. Two wins over hurdles at Fontwell and Doncaster. First run over fences off a mark of 122. He's won over 120 over hurdles, and he looks like a type that will do better over fences. Only a 5-year-old, the youngest in the field. And with the top two in the weights, perhaps a little bit exposed, perhaps a little bit high in the handicap, I'll take a chance on I'd Like the Option on this chasing debut. He could be well handicapped off 122. And finally, the mare, Lady of Longstone, can't forget her. She's had a pretty tough time over hurdles, and her two chasing efforts haven't been particularly inspiring. Handicapper has given her a £10 lower mark over fences than what she is over hurdles, but a jump in her fences is yet to inspire. So I'd Like the Option will be a selection in the 6:40 at Newton Abbot.
Okay, I'd Like the Option, the selection then from Newton Abbot. Let's head north, let's go to Carlisle, and 10 minutes later we have the 6:50. The 12 runners here, and it's over the 6 furlongs. Who do you fancy in this one?
Well, we've given me a big field now, 12 runners, and it's pretty competitive, this sprint at Carlisle. Nothing particularly stands out. We've got a few last-time-out winners. Glengarry won at Musselburgh, pretty nice on handicap debut, beating Sophie P by 2.25 lengths. That was a pretty impressive outing, to be fair. Six-round penalty wouldn't have stopped him on that occasion. So I do think Glengarry is definitely an interesting runner for Keith Dalglish, and Philip Makin is probably the one to beat on its fifth career start. Could be a much better horse. Now handicapping, I was probably unlucky when second to Nicholas T in a maiden when turned over at odds on back in June, and certainly handicapping seeing him in a better light. Of the others, Relight My Fire is very consistent for Tim Easterby and Dave Allen. A good second at Ripon the other day, only beating a short head, but handicapper stuck him back up another couple of pounds to 69. So he could just be a little bit high in the handicap. Now, Bohemian Bird has got to be a little bit interesting. Sneaking in there after just 8'4" in the Paddy Mathers for a Richard Farhay. This one won at Ayr, beating JK by a short head last time out. Has gone at £5, but is likely a race to continue to improve. That's certainly interesting. But I'm going to stick with Glengarry. Very impressed with his win at Musselburgh just a week ago. And I think he can get the job done under a 6-pound penalty.
Okay, Glengarry, the selection for James in the 6:50 at Carlisle, the final race that we're going to be looking at on Wednesday's podcast. And you can hear James regularly on William Hill's Racing Radio, which is on every single day, covering the first race through to the last. The Racing Podcast will be back for Thursday, and good luck with all of your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.